So good morning. It's so good to be here, and I thank you for your prayers and for your messages and everything. I felt so cared for and loved, so thank you. We are going to get started. We are going to have small groups this morning. We might combine with the small group. I think it might be kind of fun again. Did you guys like that last week? Yeah, so we can do that. Okay, we're going to do what we always do every week. Take out your notebook and turn it over. And we're going to go over the disciplines. Wellspring's purpose is to equip and encourage the women of Grace Bible Church to shepherd their heart toward Jesus Christ with the Word of God so that they live out the gospel, thus strengthening the church in its gospel purpose. So we want to gather together and we want to unite around these disciplines. We say it every week. We want to unite around God's Word. And we want to unite around the gospel, and our ministries, when we do this, and our church will be strengthened. And we want to make sure that our local church, God's primary tool, is strengthened and aligned with the gospel. And we start with discipline one, our own heart, first. Discipline one, we need to prayerfully shepherd our hearts toward God through the Word of God, and in particular, the gospel. And we always want to start with our own heart first. In Christ, we've been given a new heart, and we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent to bring our new heart to His Word, where He has revealed Himself most clearly to us. And, you know, if we don't have the kind of conviction that if I don't meet with Him in His Word, if I don't do that, I'm going to wither up and die. You know the impact, if we do have that kind of conviction, the impact that we can have and will have for Him and the gospel, and the impact that we'll have, or the lack of impact if we miss that, will be empty. I've experienced it. I don't know about you, but I've experienced that emptiness when I haven't been meeting with Him regularly. And even when I'm not doing that, the other disciplines, they're not even going to make sense. And so we must be so intentional about drawing near to Him and His Word. And it does take discipline. These are disciplines. It takes discipline. Because of indwelling sin, it will at times be a struggle. But we must fight. So let's fight. And discipline two is the home. She ministers to those in her household with her heart for God and the gospel. This is our first place of impact, our home. This is where we need, as women of God, to give off an aroma of love for Him, love for His Word, love for the gospel, and whoever comes into our home should see that. And we need to be women who use our home to make an impact for the gospel. First with those we live with, regardless of who that is at this season of life, and then those who come into our home. And that flows into ministry, discipline three, the ministry with a heart for God and the gospel and fulfilling her ministry within her household. She steps into the church to shepherd others toward God and the gospel. And as you practice these first two disciplines, the heart and your home, you're now stepping into the lives, into others' lives in the church and outside of the church, and you have a significant impact on those you're ministering to as you practice these disciplines. And as you grow in them, you'll have something significant to say to those that God brings into your life. You will. You can start by asking questions like, what are you doing with your heart, and especially in God's Word? And how about your relationships at home? You can ask those kinds of questions. And this is how we care for one another in the church and outside of the church. And remember, there is a priority. There's a priority to these disciplines as you shepherd your heart, discipline one, and then discipline two, your household, and then you step into others' lives in ministry. If you're not practicing discipline one, your heart, caring for that, and your home, your heart, your home, may be in trouble. And if you're not practicing discipline two, ministering to those in your home, your ministry has the potential to be in trouble. Do you see what I'm saying? Leapfrogging over your heart, leapfrogging over the relationships in your home like this? It's quite common in churches today, not shepherding your own heart first, not paying attention to the relationships in your own home first. And we need to guard against this. We need to guard this. Do you see the importance of it? It's really important. And something that takes place simultaneously with a priority on your heart, your home, and your ministry. And with that being said, let's turn to Hebrews 4:11-13. If you haven't been here, or if you've missed one of the last 2 weeks, anybody not caught up either by being here or listening to the audio message? Okay, good. So you need to listen to that. We've been there the last few weeks, and we're going to finish up today. Today's our last week in Hebrews 4:11-13. But let's read it. It says, "Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Let's pray. Oh, Father, God, we come before you now praising you and thanking you, God, for your Son. God, thank you for the hope that we have in the gospel. God, thank you that your wrath has been satisfied. God, it's been exhausted. The wrath that we deserved, Lord, has been you poured out on your Son. And you've given us new hearts. And God, we thank you and we praise you. And God, I thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning, to gather together and look at your word again and to grow. And I pray for each and every one of these women. God, I pray for their hearts, for their homes and their ministries. God, I pray that they see the importance of these disciplines. And I pray that we all would practice them more and more, God, as we meet with you. God, I thank you for the servants that are in Wellspring Kids, for Kim and Carla and Dina, who are so faithful. Thank you that these children have an opportunity once again this morning to hear about you. God, I lift up our sister Chris. God, we miss her. We love her. God, I pray that you would continue to heal her body physically. God, that she would be comforted by knowing your truths as she shepherds her heart. God, I pray that you would give her clarity of thought as she's trying to study, that you would give her energy, God, and that she would be back with us again next week. My God, I just thank you for her friendship. And now, God, I pray that you would meet with us, that you would draw near by your Spirit, that you would help us to understand this message today, and that we would be diligent, that we would be diligent women to enter your rest in your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray this in his name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to review some. We're going to go back to 2 weeks ago and kind of move forward, but we're going to review some of what we've covered the last couple of weeks, and then we're going to finish with passion number 3 and 4. Are you passionate for? And we'll cover both 3 and 4 today. Now, remember, this passage that we've been in, Hebrews 4:11-13, is very much a warning section in Scripture. It's sobering. And the writer of Hebrews is telling these Hebrew Christians, they're Hebrew Christians, and they were being persecuted for leaving Judaism, and they were growing weary. They were taking their foot off of the gas, spiritually speaking. Remember that? And they were being called to be diligent to enter God's rest. God's big salvation rest in Christ, the greater rest in Christ. And it's also a warning to us, remember, us Christians, to be diligent to enter that same rest. If you've taken your foot off of the gas, spiritually speaking, this is a warning. Keep going and be diligent. God established that his great salvation rest requires believers, us, to be diligent. That's how he set salvation up to be diligent. And God says there's a promise of rest. And remember, we talked about all of those smaller cycles of rest that pointed to the greater rest in Christ. Well, the writer of Hebrews, he's very concerned that these Hebrew Christians are missing it and that history is repeating itself. And this diligence that he's talking about is a diligence that flows from the certainty. It flows from the certainty that I am purified and that God's wrath has been propitiated. And what is propitiation? Anybody remember? Satisfied. And not only that, but it was what? Exhausted. It was satisfied and it was exhausted by Christ for you and for me. And then Philippians 2:12. You can turn there. Go ahead and turn to Philippians 2:12. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And verse 13 says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So, Christian sisters, because God is at work in you, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't say work for your salvation. We rest from that. Remember Hebrews 4:10, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. And this is part of the main point. He's reminding them that the way of salvation is that you rest primarily from trying to do your own good works. You rest from doing your own good works to establish self-righteousness. We don't do that. We rest from that. We are saved by entering in through Christ. We're saved by entering through Christ and the gospel. So when you rest from your works to establish your own self-righteousness, you've entered into God's rest, period. Done. You're in God's rest in a past tense way, but you're still entering into that rest. You're still entering. Remember, different places in Scripture talks about we were saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. So that sense in Scripture that we are still being saved, that's the focus on the now. That's what we're talking about, on the now, right now. Diligent to enter that rest. And that's what verse 11 is all about. Let us be diligent to enter that rest. And we need to entrust ourselves to the way that God set up salvation. He says, I'll finish what I started. And by the way, work it out with fear and trembling. And that's how God set salvation up to be. And what exactly are we working out? Remember the three P's. This is very helpful for me. We've been freed from the power of sin. We've been freed from the penalty of sin. Those were both paid for by Christ. So what's left?
Presence.
Yes, we still have the presence of sin. So working out salvation is battling the presence of sin. And we must be women who fight the presence of sin. And we fight it with and from the gospel, from a new heart with love for Christ. And the first question on your outline is, are you passionate? Are you passionate to spend yourself to enter the rest that comes from God? So, what would it mean to spend yourself? And it's not a to-do list, remember? That's what we're tempted to want, is a to-do list. It's not a to-do list. Remember, you need to spend yourself first to know. Spend yourself to know what Christ did on the cross for us. Guilty sinners. And then two, spend yourself in entrusting your life to Christ and his work on the cross. Spend yourself to know and spend yourself in entrusting your life to Christ and his work on the cross. That to me is exciting. I don't know. It's exciting to me to think that's what I need to do. And remember the last part of verse 11, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. And the question is, How concerned are you about your disobedience? How concerned are you about unchecked disobedience? And what do we do about that? We need to preach the gospel to our unchecked disobedience. So the encouragement here is, spend yourself to know gospel realities and gospel propositions, and then entrust your life to Christ and his work on the cross. And do that diligently. That's salvation's rest. That is the greater rest in Christ. And then last week, you guys were blessed by Barb. And I'm so thankful for her and God's provision. And she taught the second passion. And the second question on the outline is, are you passionate to search yourself? Are you passionate to search yourself with the Word of God? Verse 12 in Hebrews 4 says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the hearts." And that word "for" is explanatory. We need to be diligent because of God's Word. Because of his Word. We must understand what God's Word is all about and what it does. And we need to understand that whether we're aware of it or not, it's what it's doing. And mostly, we need to know what it's doing with our heart. Okay, that's what discipline one's about. Remember throughout chapter 3 and 4, the writer of Hebrews, he's quoting from Psalm 95, and he's talking about the heart. And he says, today, if you hear his voice, the Word of God, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. There's an emphasis on the Word and an emphasis on the heart. And God intended that his words would intersect with your heart. His words, your heart, my heart. And the writer of Hebrews is warning that our tendency is to make our hearts unreceptive to the Word. We're prone to make them hard to the Word. And here in verse 12, he's told us how effective the Word of God is with our hearts. And you know what we need to do? Remember, we need to befriend it. We need to participate with God's Word. We need to cooperate with God's Word so that it can be most effective in our lives, in its searching. So search yourself with his Word, not apart from his Word. It's already searching you. So see yourself as the Word of God sees you. He's our living God. He's our living God, and he has a living Word. And it's alive, and it's this salvation rest that he wants to give. And God's Word lives to penetrate our hearts. It lives to search us, and it lives to discern our hearts. So participate. That's what his Word does. It's living, it's active, and it is sharper. It's not sharp, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we come in the presence of his Word, we should get very low. We should get very humble. We humble ourselves and carefully place ourselves under the sharpest of all instruments that's in the hand of God. He's guiding it perfectly. The Word of God's living. It's active and it is sharp, and we should be very, very careful and very, very humble and very gentle, because God's Word, it's not something you throw around like a beach ball, remember? And we need to plead with God for a different attitude before his Word, asking him, Lord, please keep me. Keep me from hardening my heart. Plead for careful, humble, tender hearts and attitudes so that you can desire to see it and what it sees in you. And because what's at stake is salvation's rest. Are you passionate to search yourself with the Word of God like that? And then, in that verse 12, it keeps building. It says, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's piercing as far as division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. And basically, What it means, I can't see physically with my own eyes, like where my joints and marrow all come together and form. I can't see that through my skin. What is hidden from my sight and my inward being is not hidden from God's word. So this accumulation of terms, soul and spirit, joint and marrow, it's expressing the inward part of man. It's the inward part of man that God's word has absolutely no trouble seeing and no trouble penetrating. And that's not all it says. It says it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word to judge, it means that it's the great critic of your heart. The word of God, it doesn't open you up at the heart level and then lay you bare and then leave you to give your opinion of it. No. See, because my heart, I can't discern my heart half the time, most of the time. I can't discern my own heart. It's so hard to know my own motives sometimes. But God's word, it judges. And it discerns me. And we're open up so that it can give its opinion. Its opinion, that's what I want. Isn't that what you want? It gives its opinion, its criticism, and its rebuke. And it can give us its approval, too, when we've been conformed to the image of Christ. And this is why we say in Discipline 1, shepherd your heart with the word of God. Position your heart before God and his word so that his word gives you an accurate perspective. His word gives you an accurate perspective of what and where your heart is. And when you open his word, pray. When you open his word, pray. And you know what? Scott so graciously gave us a prayer that he prays. And he shared it with us. And you can make this your own. Stick it in your Bible or come up with your own. But I just want to read it. And you can, that's the handout that you got. So let's read it together. Heavenly Father, I intend this time in your word to be an expression of your worship of you. Desire for you, love for you, need for you, dependence on you. Any of this and all of this is only possible through your Son, Jesus Christ, who's my Savior. I approach you through him, my substitute and high priest. I have your word open before me because you've revealed yourself there more clearly than any other place, and I long to know you better. I desire to see you in all your glory in the pages before me. I simply humbly draw near to you to study you. Nearness to you through these pages of Scripture is my good. And I also have your word open before me because I need to learn more of the nature of my sin and fallenness before you so that I might better understand what danger I truly was in and what dangers still lurk within me, and so that I might see the sin that provoked your righteous wrath toward your Son and your grace that moved you to act as Savior toward me. Your word is open before me so that I might undergird my life again today with your saving heart and motive in the gospel of your Son, who overcame the penalty of my sin and the power of my sin to enslave me. And I need the foundation of your gospel under me clearly so that I can just see, just how you have equipped me through it to fight against my sin and to fight for obedience to you through Jesus Christ. And I'm here to rehearse your bedrock promises in the gospel to my soul. I have your word open before me to also study what righteousness and holiness of life looks like for one who's been made into a new creature in Christ. By your grace and power, as I see holiness of life placed in front of me in the pages of Scripture, I long to better align my life and behavior with what pleases you. I desire my heart and mind to be full of you because of what these pages reveal to me about you. I long for you to spill out of me into my home and wherever you lead me today. All who come into contact with me today must interact with a woman whose heart is drawn near to you. Their best hope for salvation or for growth in the gospel will come from one who has searched for you in your word and gazed upon your Son in the gospel. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So make that, or something like that, your prayer as you approach His Word. Okay, now we've covered the first two passions, number one. So we're to spend ourselves, that was what we covered in verse 11, and to be passionate to search ourselves with the Word of God, second passion. And closely related to that second passion is our third passion, number three. Are you passionate to strip yourself before the God of the Word? Strip yourself before the God of the Word. So get this, you search yourself with the Word of God, and you strip yourself before the God of the Word. That's what verse 13 is about. Hebrews 4:13 says, and there is no, now how many creatures? How many? None. No, there are no creatures hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So listen closely. Verse 12 describes the Word of God and what it does and sees. Okay, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing. It describes the Word of God and what it does and sees. Verse 13 describes what the God of the Word sees. There is no creature hidden from His sight. So, are you passionate to strip yourself before the God of the Word? See, if you search yourself with God's Word, and it's revealed to you that maybe you're wearing a mask, or you've got a shield up to hide other people from seeing that you've got a disguise over your heart, there's no use in pretending that God doesn't see through it. See, because you and I were not hidden from His sight. That's verse 13. No creature is hidden from His sight. Rather, we're open. We're naked before God. God's fully aware of everything in us at the heart level. So masking who you are, disguising your heart, it does no good. It's kind of uncomfortable, isn't it? But it's a good description of how we are. We're laid bare. We're naked before God. And so masking or disguising what we are before God is about as effective as a child closing her eyes and covering her face and saying when she's playing hide and seek, "You can't see me." That's not very effective, right? Thinking you can hide whatever's going on inside of you from God is about as wise as a little child doing that. Silly. We're laid bare, and it's hard to know what this laid bare means. Some think it's when they lifted up the head of a sacrificial animal and they slit its throat, it was laid bare. And some think it was a wrestling move, like in the gladiators. That they used to use in the Olympic Games, where they would get the opponent down and hold him where he was laid bare, and there was nothing he could do. But in today's terms, I don't know how many of you know this, but tap out. You tap out. Nothing you can do. And you know what? They were completely naked in those days when they played those games. So they were laid bare. And I'm not exactly sure of the precise meaning, but At a minimum, it's a parallel to the word naked or open, laid bare. So most likely it's a lifting up of the chin, and again, it's a sense of lifting up the face to have full face-to-face contact, eye-to-eye contact with God. You're submissive. You're not in control, and that's the point. He sees, and it's very humbling. He sees me in truth. And I need to remind myself He sees me. I'm open and laid bare before Him. He sees through any mask that we can put on. And do you know what we need, ladies, as Christian women, as a Christian wife, as a Christian mom, as a friend, as a roommate, as a mentor? Well, we need to see that we are seen by God perfectly. We are. We need our eyes lifted up. We need our eyes lifted up to see His penetrating eyes seeing through every one of our masks. I used to do this with my kids, take their little face in my hands and say, "Look at my eyes. Look at me." I see you guys doing that too with your little ones. "Look at my eyes. Look at my eyes. See me? Right? Where are my eyes?" And why do we do that? You want face-to-face contact. You want face-to-face contact with that little one. You want to say, I see what you're doing. I need your full attention. Right? And that's what God's after. He's fully aware of everything. He's fully aware of everything in us at the heart level. And you and I, we're naked, we're laid bare in the sense that we're seen by God exactly as we are. And if that's the case, if God already right now sees us as we truly are, what would be the wise thing to do? The wise thing to do would be to surrender. We need to surrender to not fight. We really have two choices. We can fight or we can surrender. We can drop the mask. We can talk to Him and we can acknowledge that He does see you for who you really are. Acknowledge it. He knows. You don't want to fool anyone anymore. Strip yourself. Remember, He's no longer our judge. He's our Father. If He sees you stripped down at the heart, don't fight it. Instead, drop the mask, drop the disguise in order to communicate to God that you understand. You get it. I get it, God. God, you're seeing me. I understand that you see me for who I truly am. And you know what? Here's the foolish mask I was holding. It's gone. And you know why? Because God stripped it off a long time ago in His mind. It's gone. Strip yourself because nothing is hidden from God in the end. And at the end of verse 13, it's Him with whom we have to do. That's the end of verse 13. Literally, it means that we just have to give an account to Him. And the worst thing I can think of, the very worst thing of it is that, well, think about this. That the first time you have your mask stripped from you, naked, laid bare before God is on Judgment Day. First time standing before the Lord. And it doesn't have to be that way because there is safety in the gospel. You can drop the mask and not be judged on the spot for what you are, but for Christ to be judged. And to bear the impurities. You could be purified. The wrath of toward you can be propitiated. It's too late at Judgment Day. So, putting these three passions together, think about it like this. Search yourself now with the Word of God so that you might strip yourself before the God of the Word. Also that you might what? Spend yourself in the salvation rest of God. And you want me to say that again? Search yourself now with the Word of God so that you might strip yourself before the God of the Word, all so that you might spend yourself in the salvation rest of God. And the question from this passage is, are we passionate for this? And here's the last passion, the fourth one, the bonus one we talked about. And in light of these first three passions that we talked about, this is so important. Number four, are you passionate to soak yourself in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you passionate to soak yourself in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Hebrews 4:11 through 13 is very much a warning section of Scripture. It's sobering and it's heavy. And I just want to read it all one more time. You can look there with me. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The writer's concerned that disobedience is gaining ground. History is repeating itself. And this is just a very serious time. And it needed a very serious warning. And in this passage of Scripture, you walk away from this feeling very sober. You walk away feeling maybe very convicted. I mean, I can't help but think that maybe there might be some discouragement or guilt upon even some of you now because you know you're not spending yourself. And you know you're not searching yourself and you're not stripping yourself before God. You know what you need to do, Christian. And I can't assume that all of you are my sisters in Christ because I don't know your hearts. But regardless of where you are, regardless, soak yourself in the gospel. And the writer of Hebrews knows at this point what his reader needs to hear next. Look at verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We have a high priest, and that high priest is the one who back in chapter 1, verse 3, made purifications of sin, and he sat down. There's nothing more for him to do. It's done. He sits before God, and he's saying, soak yourself in the gospel. Soak yourself in those realities. Preach this to yourself. And that great one in chapter 2, verse 17, became a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of his people. That's the gospel. Soak yourself in the gospel so that if the eyes of your hearts have not been opened to see the true need for a Savior, they might be opened to see his salvation, to see his atoning work. That your eyes might be open to see the new heart that he gives you, because he doesn't call you to follow him with the old, dead heart. He gives a new one. Your eyes need to be open to see that. It's faith by grace. It's repentance. And you can begin a whole new life with new passions to spin yourself, to search yourself, to strip yourself, and to keep on soaking yourself in the gospel. So lady, soak yourself. Soak yourself in the promises of the gospel that still flow to you from the right hand of the majesty on high. He's sitting down and they flow to you from there. Think about that. In verse 15 and 16, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Are you feeling weak right now? Are you feeling weak in this? I feel weak. Well, we have one who's been tempted in things as we are yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we might receive mercy. Do you need mercy in this today? That we might find grace. Do you want to find grace? To find help? Do you need help? In a time of need, is this a time of need for you? The writer of Hebrews knows what we needed to hear after that heavy warning. And you've got to soak yourself. You've got to soak yourself in the promises that he made to us in Christ. And one last passage, turn to chapter 7, starting in verse 25. And soak yourself in this. He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He's able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and keep on. Is that what it's saying? No. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. It was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy and innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests who offered up sacrifices first for his own sin and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. See? He keeps his promises to save you to the end. And we need to soak ourselves in these promises. Let's pray. Oh, Father, that we would be passionate women, that we would be diligent, Lord, to spend ourselves to know you and the realities of the gospel, Lord, and then to entrust our life to them, to be diligent to trust our life to them, to be diligent to preach the gospel to ourselves every day, to be diligent to enter the rest that we have in your Son. Lord, will you help us to understand what your word is doing with our hearts and its searching? God, I pray that we would humble ourselves when we come to it, that we would throw off any mask, any disguise, and that we wouldn't fight, that we would surrender, and we would cooperate, and we would participate with your word, and that we would come with soft hearts. Lord, we're prone to wander, and we're prone to have hard hearts. God, I plead with you that we would come before you humbly with soft hearts. And thank you that we can approach your throne of grace. And Father, we need your grace. We need your help. And you give it. And thank you that you offer it in your Son. And God, I pray that we would rest in the gospel as we diligently pursue the ultimate rest, and that we wouldn't forget about that ultimate rest that comes in heaven. And I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All right. Homework. Let's talk about it. It's kind of hard, I think, some of it, right? So here's the suggestion. I don't know. We have one more week to finish it. And we're going to talk about question three today. But I just wanted to encourage you. The question is, what is the current spiritual attitude and atmosphere in your home? That you have set. Be as specific or detailed as you can. And these are hard questions, and you need to just go before the Lord and ask Him. And then here's what I encourage you to do. If you're not sure, go to who you live with. Go to your husband. Go to your children. Go to who you spend the most time with and ask them to be honest, to help you. And then question four and five, you know, if you're stumped by it, it's not necessary to finish it. It's just an opportunity to share, and we'd love to just hear your heart in that if you want to share. But I don't want you to, you know, really stress out over those questions, but give them some thought. And then Anne still has, what are they called?
CFCA
opportunities for Christmas for the kids. So she brought them with her. So if you didn't pick one up at church on Sunday, and if you'd like to, she has more of them. And so we're going to meet for small group for the next 15 minutes, and let's just meet together. I think that would be fun, okay?